Praise God. Hey, listen, it's been a great time over the last 3 weeks listening to hear how God, about growing God's family. Over the last 3 weeks, we've had three guest speakers, and they've kind of kept me on my toes a little bit. I thought, oh, I've got to preach today. I hope I can remember how to. But we first of all, we had Nimi. Remember Coach Nimi? No, you weren't here, Adassa. You missed out on Coach Nimi. But he spoke about how God wants a big family, that God's heart is definitely multiplication. That's on his heart. And then we heard from Ezra about reaching our family, about being ambassadors for Christ. And I thought, what a great message that was. Wasn't it? And then last week we had Nacho speaking about reaching our world. Reaching our world. Remember, we had to go through those three steps: accept the Great Commission and identify people that we want to witness to, and then pray, pray, pray. Remember, he used that acronym, PUSH, pray until something happens. I loved that. So over the last 3 weeks, we're not going to revisit it all now, but we have ascertained that it is God's will for all men to be saved. It's God's will. So that would be the what over this series that we're doing. Can we have something up here about growing God's family? Multiply, growing God's family, yeah. So that is we've ascertained it. But the question is, how? How? How do we do this? If we are to co-labor with God, be his ambassadors, and represent him well, how do we do this? How do we do this? It's a good question, isn't it? But the point that I'm trying to get to is the fact that how we live our lives matters. How we live our lives matter. And so we're not going to go to it, but Romans chapter 12 in the New King James talks about, very clearly, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want us to read this in the Message paraphrase. In the Message paraphrase, it says this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's the key bit. Let's respond to what God wants us to do. Unlike the culture around us, always dragging us down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what God does. He wants to form well-formed maturity in us. So as Christians, we are not called to blend into society. There's got to be a difference. We cannot be like the culture around us, the culture that says, it's okay, you can sleep around. That's the culture. We are not supposed to do that. We are not conforming to the culture. We need to not blend. We are not to blend into what everyone else is doing and what everyone else finds acceptable. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says these words. He says, you've got to be the salt and the light. Look at what it says in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. It says this: you are the salt of the earth. You didn't know you were a little salt seller today. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the purpose of good works, is for God to get the glory, not for us to get all the glory. But he says there, you are the salt of the earth. You know, in the Middle East, during the first century, salt was an important commodity, and it had two main purposes. So because of the lack of refrigeration back in the first century, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat. You know, I mean, when the weather gets a bit warmer, and if you take a bit of meat out of the freezer or the fridge, man, it goes off really fast, doesn't it? So this is what they used it in the Middle East in the first century, used to preserve food. And secondly, salt was used then, as it is now, as a flavor enhancer. In the same way that salt enhances the flavor of food, so us, as followers of Christ, need to stand out and enhance the flavor of life in this world. We're not called to fit in. We are called to give flavor. Listen to this from what the Message says in Matthew 5:13. It says here, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. I love that. God's flavor on this earth. That's us. You know when a salt cellar's got little holes in the top of the head? We need to go around shaking our little heads around a little bit and shaking out some of the salt that's in us so that we can bring out the God flavors of this earth. You know, just as salt permanently changes the flavor of food, the influences of godly people can change a culture. You know, there's that expression that says, evil prevails when good men do nothing. And it's true. If everybody, if we just let the world go to pot, that's what it'll do. It's the second law of thermodynamics. That which is left to itself will just, it will just die. It will just degrade. But Christians, as believers in Jesus, we serve a godly purpose in this world simply by living out what we believe about Jesus. Like, who was it, Ezra, who shared so much about being ambassadors for Christ. I think that was such a brilliant message. But we are to represent Jesus to a lost and dying world. And I thought, during the preparation of this message, I thought, remember the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, a beautiful, beautiful prayer. He says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. This is our purpose, to be ambassadors, to spread the gospel, to be that salt seasoning. Message 5:13 again says, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You know what? Salt in itself has no expiry date. It doesn't actually have an expiry date. It doesn't lose its flavor. Funny enough, the only salt that does have an expiry date is table salt, because they've added preservatives to salt. It's like, why would you add preservatives to salt? But they have. So, but generally, salt in itself has no expiry date. But salt can be affected. Saltiness can be affected by dilution, by contamination, and by changes in a person's ability to taste. And I thought, okay, we'll start with the last one first. COVID was a great example of that. Before the testing, I had lost my sense of smell. And because I had no sense of smell, I had no sense of taste. I couldn't taste food for months, had no sense of taste. So if you can't smell, you can't, if there's a change, some viral change, you can't taste. But what about dilution? What about contamination? What dilutes or contaminates our saltiness? And I believe we've got two things. There are more, but I'm just going to pick on two. Number one, the company we keep. And number two, compromise. It's a bit of a hard message, but it will get better, I promise you. We'll start with company we keep. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says this. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You just take it back to verse 1 again there, Hadassah. Blessed is the man. That word blessed, it's not some kind of weird spiritual expression that don't know really what it means. It means favored, happy, to be envied is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, you're not following the ungodly's advice and counsel. If you want godly advice and counsel, we are here for you. Pastor Chris and myself, we are here to give godly counsel. But don't go to the world for godly advice and godly counsel. Blessed is the man or the woman. Happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man or the woman who walks not. Notice it starts with a walk. Then it goes, stands. Suddenly they're walking together. You know what it's like? You walk and talk, and suddenly your conversation goes a little bit deeper. You stand. You want to engage a little bit now. I want to turn and face this person. What's happening? We're becoming yielded to that person, to their so-called advice. I'm sorry, I'm not against the world. I'm not against the world. There are some good people that aren't saved. But I'm talking from a Christian perspective. This is important. This is so key. So we go from walking to standing. Then we go sitting. Suddenly, okay, let's pull up a chair. Let's have a conversation now. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That means to relax and rest with the scornful. Join in with their mockers. Look at those Christians. They're crazy. What do they do on a Sunday? They go to church. Are they crazy? Oh, they're crazy. You're sitting. You're in agreement with the enemy. But instead, you know what the Bible says? Bad company corrupts good character. Some versions say morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Corrupts, contaminates. We're looking, how do we lose our saltiness? By getting contaminated. I'm not saying we're going to go all join a monastery. I'd like to. I'd like us to all go join a monastery. But that's not the reality. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't take our counsel from the world. Bad company corrupts. In other corruption talks about degrading. It's it was in a certain condition, but it corrupts, it degrades it into unsound principles. When we're in relationship with somebody, it's so important to think, who is influencing who? You know, who is influencing who? Bible says, how can two walk together unless you're in agreement? How can two walk together unless you're in agreement? It goes for your marriage too. How can two walk together? But Proverbs 12 says, the righteous choose their friends wisely, carefully. Let's make sure that the friends that we're choosing are good. They are righteous. They're walking in the same direction as us. So first of all, what contaminates? The company keep. Secondly, compromise. Oosh, this is a bit heavy. Okay, but it needs to be said. You know, if we were up here every Sunday and saying, oh, God loves you, you can do what you like, guess what? We'd be lying. We'd be giving part of the counsel of God. We need to preach the full counsel of God. Okay. So compromise. But you know what? Even the world hates compromise in the church. They're quick to point out, the church is full of hypocrites. It's true. The church is full of hypocrites. They're very quick to point out any compromise in the church. But when it comes to church, the world actually expects our actions to line up with our words. There is that expectation from the world for us to have our actions to line up with our words. So we can't allow compromise in our lives. You know, we were singing that song earlier, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. I am convinced that there is going to be a move of God in this nation, in this church even, and it's going to be based on the holiness of God. God is looking for a people of holy hearts towards Him. We serve a holy God, and we've got to eradicate any compromise in our lives. There's only one way of doing things. It's God's way. It's only God's way. There's no maybes. Well, if I just do this, if I just do a little bit of this, no. It's God's way. Starting in the church, it starts first and foremost in church. We're not going to go home and have roast pasta, okay? Have roast pasta. I've done it. I know, don't act holy, like you don't know what I'm talking about. I've done it myself. Look, did you hear what they said? Who do they think they are? Now I'm on the receiving end. Any gossip, slander, anything like that. If someone comes up to you and says, Stephanie, have you heard about Shanae? Do you know what you need to do? Say, okay, come. Let's go talk to Shanae about it. And let's, because that's what the Bible says. We're not gonna put up with gossip. We're not going to put up with slander. I'm sorry, first-time visitors. This is heavy. But we've got to get this right. We cannot conform to the ways of this world. We've got to get this right. Attitudes. Strife. Get strife out of your life. Strife. Oh, no, we are not going to have strife. Selfish ambition, any of these things. We are going to do things God's way. I loved this last week or so. Pastor Stu sent out an email, which was a video email, and he was talking about, you know, we are up to our eyeballs in policies at church, and there's a policy for everything, and it's all good. But he videotaped this, and I loved his heart in it, because he was saying, when we come to church, it's an environment which is God-honoring. God-honoring. And that's got to be our focus. When we come in here, this is God's house. This is God-honoring. We're going to give Him place to move in our lives. That's got to be our purpose. We're about doing things God's way in every aspect of our lives. In our marriage, if you're married, It's covenant. Marriage is covenant. It's commitment. It's not convenience. Marriage, there's only one way. God's way. That's the only way. God's way. I'm so blessed by my husband. Honestly. You know what? We met in Bible college in 1996. Within 2 weeks, he had proposed of knowing who we met. Within 2 weeks of meeting, he proposed. And it was wonderful. We knew God had a plan and a purpose for our lives. We're going to go to England. We're going to save the world. We had all these wonderful promises of God. But at the time, when we were engaged, I was living in a little three-bedroom cottage just in one of the suburbs of Johannesburg, and it was on a small holding. So there was this other family that lived there, and I lived in this three-bedroom cottage with my daughter. And we had committed, I'm just aware of ages here, but we had committed to do things God's way. That's everything, God's way. No messing about, no first base, second base, none of it. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? No sex before marriage. Okay, there, I said it, okay? No sex before marriage. And I was living in this cottage with my daughter, and between Chris and myself, we had been burgled separately about 8 times. And it, you know, crime was horrendous, still is. And the last time that they broke into that cottage, it was, I think, on a Friday night. I was in Bible college. Thankfully, my daughter was at her friend's, because they had broken in, stolen everything, but there was a lot of evidence around that their intentions were to harm us physically. And we weren't, praise God, we weren't there. And so now I'm engaged to Chris, and he knows that my life is at risk living on the small holding. He said, I've got to move in. You're in a three-bedroom cottage. There's a bedroom. We're not going to do anything. But we knew, man, that's a huge temptation. So do you know what we did? We found someone with a caravan. And we parked the caravan outside this cottage. And until we got married, Chris lived in the caravan outside the cottage. If they'd broken in again, you'd have been no help to me. But it was just he wanted to protect me, you know. But the point is that we were going to do it God's way. And the people that owned that property knew that we were Christians, knew we were in Bible college, and we wanted to avoid the appearance of evil. Just the appearance of it. The fact that, well, Chris, they're Christians, but now he's living with her? Nope. No. It's marriage. It's covenant. We're doing things God's way. Stay salty. Don't dilute. Parenting. Parenting. There's only one way. It's God's way. It's the only way. It's the only way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. Guess what? Your kids shouldn't be given the choice whether they come to church or not. The Bible is clear. It's for you. You tell your child, come, we're going to church. This is not an ordeal for the kids to go through. They learn. They have fun. Today they're looking for sheep or something in the kids' church room. I hope they find them. But it's fun. It's a learning thing. And we're trying to improve things in kids' church constantly. You know, you don't ask a two-year-old, what do you want for lunch? You just give it to them. You give it to them. So it's not a question that you should be asking your kids, do you want to go? No, we're going to church. We're going to church. You know, I got saved when I was in my 30s. My daughter was 14. I hadn't raised her in the ways of God. But I do remember every night I'd sit with her before she went to bed. And I'd say, what's God saying to you? And she'd open up her Bible. I'd open my Bible. We'd share something with each other. She was 14. And we'd share something from the Word of God. We'd pray for one another. I'd bless her with peace. She'd go to sleep. 14. That's all I knew. And I did it. But do what you know to do. Don't do what you don't know. Do what you do know. Children, younger people, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. It doesn't matter what age you are. My mother-in-law is 90. I have to honor her. I honor her. Chris honors his mum. He's patient with her. He's wonderful. But we honor our father and our mother. Work. We're going to do things God's way in work. You know, in the old days, we used to say, stop stealing paper clips. I don't think anybody steals paper clips anymore because everything's paperless. But what about time? What about quickly going on the internet, doing a little bit of online shopping during your employer's time? Let's not steal our employer's time. Friendships. Do it God's way. We're not going to drinking parties together. Oof, Sandy, this is so harsh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to be so harsh. But it's important. We need to retain our saltiness. We cannot be like the world. We cannot. The whole purpose of what we're talking about here is growing God's family. How can we impact the world if we're behaving just like them? There has to be a marked difference. There has to be. We're here to be the salt and the light. Matthew 5:13, whatever it is, from the Message. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You're here to be the light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. He's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. We are called to be salt and light. We are not called to be God's secret agent. Does anybody know you're a Christian? They need to. They need to know. Let your light so shine. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Salt and light, taste and see. So the way we live matters, both publicly and privately. So we've ascertained that it is God's will for all men to be saved. We've learned this morning that we are to represent Jesus well, that we're to live lives that point to Christ. But that's not all. That's not all. You know, sometimes I think we get this concept that we're going to reach people because they're going to see the love in our eyes. That's weird. It's creepy, actually, you know, that they're going to see the love in your eyes. No, the Bible says, how will they know unless they hear? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to be able to articulate ourselves to share the gospel. And so maybe you have difficulty articulating yourself. You don't quite know, where do I start? Good question. Maybe you're shy. I know we've got a lot of shy people. Maybe you're not a people person. But I tell you what, let's not hide behind those labels. God says, go into all the world. I have empowered you with the Holy Spirit. You look, you know what, we're in good company. Sorry, Moses, he was a stammerer. God told him, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. That's like going to Donald Trump. You know, going to the Oval Office and speak head on with Donald Trump, you know, like the superpower person. My opinion of Donald Trump, okay, it's got nothing to do with this message, but I'm just using him as an example. A superpower. Pharaoh. He's a superpower. Go to Pharaoh. Go to the head of the nations and tell him, let my people go. He said, but I'm a stammerer. He says, I'm not eloquent. I'm not good with words. Moses. Moses. He says, I'm slow of speech. I get tongue-tied. And my words get all mixed up. But you know what? He did it. He did it. He went to Pharaoh and he said, this ineloquent stammerer, and he said, let God's people go. And what happened? He led a nation, the stammerer, out of Egypt. We can't hide behind a label. We can't. Look at Peter, untrained, uneducated fisherman. I'd hate to have heard his language. You know, I don't think it was very, I think it was quite colorful, you know, but not in a good way. But he denied Jesus three times. Yet after he had been empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he stood up. This uneducated fisherman stood up, preaches this amazing message, and 3,000 were added to the church that day. So we can't hide behind a label. The Apostle Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, more or less, describes himself as being untrained in speech. In fact, the Corinthian church says this about Paul. His letters are weighty, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. The Apostle Paul. His speech is contemptible. He's the greatest apostle that ever lived. And we eat of that word, those imprisonment letters that he wrote. This person who's so untrained in speech. Man, I've never seen such long sentences written by anyone else in the Bible but the Apostle Paul. So we're in good company. Do you know what? If you want to share your testimony, if you want to share the gospel, you don't need to go to Bible college for 5 years and get a theology degree, you know, a DODO degree, whatever you want to call it, in theology. If you're born again, you have a testimony. If you are born again, you have a testimony. You have been translated from the kingdom, the dominion of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You have a testimony. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation that's been given to us. You know what? When you share your testimony, you don't have to have a 20-minute message with an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. That's not how we share our testimony. It's just about our life. What has Jesus done in our lives? We can go back to the day that we got saved or last week, whatever it might be. But Bible says that we are always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the hope that is in you. Be ready. I'll finish with this last scripture, Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God. It says this, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word, having shod, is a past participle. We've got to be prepared to share our testimony. We're going to hear next week, we're going to hear testimonies from people, but we've got to make sure we are properly dressed. There's no formula. You know, over the years, there've been numerous evangelism courses over the years that have run historically and to continue to this day. There's things like EE3, Evangelism Explosion, Alpha, Way of the Master, highly recommended, but use it well, wisely. Way of the Master. And our very own senior pastor, Andy Elms, his soul winner course, Our senior pastor is an evangelist through and through, and a brilliant teacher, preacher, but he's written this book and this course called Soul Winner. Can we get the thing up there? And he is putting on a masterclass on the 12th of July. It's a Saturday, for free, for everybody who wants to come, from 9 till 1, 9 till 5, at the Empower Center. He's written a book called Soul Winner, and that's the copy of the book. And if you go and buy it, you put on a special code, SW20, you'll get a 20% discount. But I'm not here to try and sell books and highlight Andy Elms' amazing gifting. But if you're not sure how to share your faith, I would highly recommend that you go and attend a masterclass, a one-day thing, at Empower Center on the 12th of July. There was a, I'll put it in the email this week so that you can go on and register. This book, written by him, the Soul Winner book, has been translated so far into Polish and Italian. Pastor Andy is getting so much favor across the globe. That it's upcoming language translations is going to be French, Colombian Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, Romanian, Slovakian, Russian, Chinese. Talk about going to the ends of the earth with this Soul Winner course. If you don't know how to share your faith, here is the key. We're not going to conform to the ways of the world, and we're going to go on a Soul Winner course. Is that okay? But we got to know, don't try and be Andy Elms. Okay, he's taken. We're not going to be Ryan or Bonky. We're not going to be any of these big guys. Just be yourself. Know who you are in Christ. Make sure you've got a testimony. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to call it, Testimony Tuesday. We're going to share testimonies on Zoom or whatever platform it is. We're going to have testimonies. So in 2 weeks' time, I'll put it in the email, we're going to share testimonies. Monday night's going to be prayer, Tuesday night, testimony. And a great opportunity to share what God is doing in your life in the body of Christ. So there's no judgment. There's no laughing at somebody's mistakes. It's a safe environment. So that's what we're going to do. Is that okay? Praise God.